Father, we give you praise this morning for your many blessings, for all that you've done for us, for allowing us to be in your house this morning. Lord, I pray for encouragement, for change in all of our hearts, Lord, this morning, that there would be a hunger and a desire for you. Lord, may you lead us during this time now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We're going to begin in John chapter 1. It's kind of funny. Wednesday, I had three different sermons in mind. And when I come to put down one of the sermons, none of them fit. It's like, Lord, what? And I was really struggling with what to preach about, what to talk about. I usually start my sermon on Friday night, and Friday night I ended up just praying and seeking the Lord, and didn't write anything down because I was trying to be sure of what He wanted me to talk about. And it's funny how just a day or two, and how things come, things go, and you can change so much in just a couple of days. But John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood. There came a man who sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world." We all know John the Baptist, what he did. He came to testify about the light coming. And this is the part that I want you to hear, okay? "He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him." The world did not recognize Jesus. The world did not recognize who he was. My question to you this morning is, do you recognize the Lord Jesus in your day-to-day life today? Do you know who Jesus is? Do we see him in our life at work? Do we feel his guidance? Do you know that you know Jesus is walking with you each and every day? Do we recognize him? Let's go to John chapter 20. We're going to stay in John most of the day, I believe. John chapter 20, verse 10. John 20, verse 10. "Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus." Mary knew Jesus. She knew who he was. But she saw him standing there and she didn't realize that it was him. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. She realized who he was, but what this tells me is she walked with Jesus. She knew Jesus. But she didn't recognize him. She thought he might be the gardener. She didn't know who he was. And sometimes I think in our darkest hour of life, sometimes in those moments that we feel like the world is caving in on us, that we don't even recognize that sometimes Jesus is standing right there with us. He's right there. He hasn't left us. Jesus was standing right there, but she didn't recognize him. And I think oftentimes in our life, as we're living, as we're going, and maybe in those terrible moments of our life, we're saying, Jesus, are you even here? Do you even know where you at, Jesus? And He's right there. But we don't always recognize Him. John 21, verse 1 says, afterwards, Jesus appeared again to His disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way, Simon, Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Canaan in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Church, how many times in our life do we not realize that it's Jesus? That Jesus is right there, that Jesus is trying to guide us, that Jesus is trying to direct us. He called out to them, friends, haven't you caught any fish? They answered, no. He said, throw your nets on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garments around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water, taken off for Jesus. Can I tell y'all something this morning? That the moment that we realize Jesus is there, we should be going towards Him. We should be following Him. Throwing everything else off. The moment that we recognize that's the path, that's where Jesus is, we need to go, and we need to go as fast as we can. We need to begin to open up our eyes and realize that Jesus is there. Now, I had something happen to me Friday, and I was delivering to a business. I went to Mena. I hadn't been to Mena in over a year, and I was delivering to a business. And there was another guy from Mansfield that works for another company, and I was talking to him, messing with him, teasing him and everything. A guy come driving by on a forklift, and he stopped, and he looked right at me. He says, I know you. I said, you do? He said, your name is Pete Rose, isn't it? I said, yeah. He says, you don't know who I am, do you? I said, no. I said, but your voice sounds a little bit familiar. And he said, my name's David Bishop. And he graduated with Crystal. We played football together. We played basketball together. And he was one of my good friends in school, but I probably hadn't seen him since I was 19. So that's been, you know, about 6-7 years. It's been a little while. And it was all I could do to not climb up on that forklift and give him a hug because I hadn't seen him in so long. And last I'd heard, he was strung out on meth and drugs real bad. And I'd heard a lot of bad things, but he looked good. He looked healthy. I said, man, I said, I can't believe you recognized me with this gray beard and bald head and everything. He says, I didn't. He said, but when I heard your voice, he said, as soon as I heard your voice, he said, that's Pete Rose. He said, he recognized me by my voice. And as I was thinking about that, and I thought, how many times in our life do we not recognize Jesus? Do we not recognize His voice, His guidance, His leadership in our life? Here's this man that I thought I knew. By the way, he shared with me, and this just blessed my heart. I think he said 8 months ago that he gave his heart to the Lord. I said, how's everything going? He said, well, I lived with a woman for 10 years. He said, we got a baby together. He said, she's in kindergarten, actually. And he said, but when I gave my life to the Lord, I said, you know what? This isn't right. We can't live together like this. We're either going to have to get married or move out. She said, okay, I'll marry you. He said, about a month after I became a Christian, she realized she didn't want any part of that life, and she kicked me out. But he said, it's okay. I'm living for the Lord. Man, that so blessed my heart. He's given up the drugs. He's given up a relationship that was ungodly. You don't see that anymore. All you hear is excuses about, well, I love the person, or this or that, and, well, God really doesn't. You know what? If you ask me, David heard from God, and God said that's an ungodly relationship, and you need to either make it right and marry the girl or get out. You know, sometimes when you hear God's voice, sometimes when you're listening to God's voice, the decisions that we have to make aren't always easy. And to be with someone for 10 years and then make the decision that we've got to get married, things got to change, that's a hard decision to make. I've been talking about Billy Graham a lot because I've been hearing all these sermons. I never knew this about Billy Graham. Billy Graham, when he was in high school, he had a relationship. And he said it was puppy love. He was in love with this girl. And he said after he truly gave his heart to the Lord told him to break up with her. He said, but Lord, he said, he went to her house and told her that he had to break up with her, that that's what the Lord said. Said she cried, he cried, she'd done nothing wrong. But she wasn't a Christian. He said, how was I to know that God had someone down the road that was in store for me? And then, you know, he meets his wife down the road later on. But I thought, how hard is that to trust and obey, to hear the Word of God and to do it? And especially like for Billy Graham there, his girlfriend's done nothing wrong. They're not fighting. There's nothing. But she's not who God has planned for his life. And to walk in obedience to that. How many of us recognize that God's leading us each and every day, that He's there and He wants to speak to us and He wants to instruct us on how to live and where to go and what to do? John chapter 10. I told y'all we're going to mainly stay in John. I made it easy on you for the most part. John chapter 10 verse 1 says, I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. See, many times, I don't know if y'all have been this way, but many times I go, God, is that you? Has anybody else ever done that? God, is that you? It don't make no sense. Or, God, where are you? I can't hear you. What do you want me to do? And there's silence. But here it says that we should know His voice. Verse 5 says, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. You know what that makes me think of? The verse, flee. Flee sometimes. Sometimes we got to flee. We got to get away from sin. Sometimes we got to get away from those things that tempt us so. Sometimes we got to run and get away from it. Here it says that when you hear the stranger's voice, that the sheep, when they don't recognize the voice, they get away from it. Verse 6, Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what He was telling them. They didn't understand. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest. Do we recognize God's voice? Do we recognize our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Here we've read three different accounts where they did not recognize Him. And then we hear that His sheep know His voice. Do you recognize Jesus today? Do you know His voice? Do you hear His guidance in your heart? Deuteronomy 30, 19 through 20 says, this day I call heaven and earth as witness against you that I have set before you life and death. He set before us life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God and listen to His voice and hold fast to Him, for the Lord is your life and He will give you many years in the land He swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Today is the day that He set before us life and death. Today is the day that He says, choose whom you will serve. But we have to learn to recognize, learn to listen to His voice. Now, I think it's amazing that my friend that I hadn't seen in 20-something years heard my voice and said, that's got to be Pete Rose. I don't like listening to my own voice. If I've ever heard it on a tape recorder or a home movie or whatever, I don't like to hear my own voice. Is anybody else that way? You don't like to hear your own voice, but I'll hear you guys sometimes. I've been in Walmart before and I'll hear somebody aisle over and I'll know exactly who that is. I'll recognize their voice. But the deceiver is coming to try and deceive us. I mean, they hadn't done it to me in a long time, but used to when I'd call and used to when we have a home phone and I'd call home and Amy or Brandy would be there and they'd pick it up and I thought I'm talking to Crystal, you know, and they're like, and they just, oh, just try and be real quick. So they disguise their voice. I know my wife's voice, but they would fool me once in a while. You know, with just a quick response. Have any of y'all ever tried fooling anybody on the phone like that? Because you're expecting, you know, you call the certain number. You want to talk to that person, you know. The enemy's out to deceive us. And if we're not walking close with the Lord, if we don't know His voice, we can be deceived. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But can I tell you something? And what we read a minute ago in John chapter 1 says the Word was God, the Word was with God, and the way that we get to know our Lord and Savior more is through His Word, is through prayer. And God's voice is never going to tell us to go against anything in this Word of God. You know, I had a family member years ago. Now, I'm not trying to step on any toes. She said God told her to leave her husband and divorce him and marry this other man. My grandpa told her, said, if God told you to do that, I don't even think I believe in God. God is not going to tell you to go against what His Word says. She got furious with him. Later on, 30 years later, she confessed to me she was deceived. She really thought she was following God and leaving her husband and marrying a man from church. But Satan had deceived her and destroyed her home. We have to know God's voice, and we have to know His voice is not going to tell us to go against what's in His Word. It's never going to tell us to go against His Word. He's never going to say that all these things that society is saying okay, and the world is saying is okay, and Christians now are beginning to say things are okay, when it's not okay. It's not okay. It goes against what the Word of God says. And sometimes the enemy so messes with our mind. Does he mess with your mind like he messes with my mind? And sometimes I'll hear good, what I think are good solid Christians, and they're saying this thing, and in my heart I'm going, how can that be? How can that be? And what the enemy loves to do is stir stuff up, stir stuff up. Big thing right now that he's stirring and messing with people's minds is the issue of homosexuality. And there's, you know, it's almost become a split even in the church. Do you accept them? Do you not accept them? Do we allow them to get married? Do they not get married? And it's messing with everybody's head. And you hear good Christians and they're on the side of homosexuality. And I'm not. It goes against what the Word of God says. So I cannot vary from what the Word of God says. Do I pray for those people? Do I think they're being deceived? Yes. But I cannot accept that lifestyle. No more than I can accept the lifestyle of a man who's got a girlfriend on the side, or a woman that's sleeping around, or someone that's out at a bar every night getting drunk. It's all sin, and it goes against what the Word of God says. And if you think the voice of God is telling you that living a lifestyle that's immoral is okay, you're being deceived, and you've lost the Word of God in your heart. You don't recognize the voice that you're hearing anymore. Is anybody getting anything out of this morning? I mean, seriously, we're so messed up. We're so messed up these days in our beliefs and our values and what we say is God and it's not. Do you even recognize God in your life anymore? Do you feel His presence? Do you feel His call? Do you know when He's speaking to you? Hebrews 3, verse 7 says, "So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in rebellion during the time of testing in the desert." I'm so mad at myself this week. Delivering to a business, and they're always teasing me about praying for this person and praying for that person, and most of the time they're just being silly, messing with me. But it's a secured facility, and so you got to ring a buzzer, and they have to let you in. This woman came and she let me in. She said, "Pete, I'm so glad it's you." She said, "I need you to pray for me. My head is hurting so bad." And I said, "Oh yeah," and I just talked to her for a minute, and I went on, and I prayed for her in my heart, and then it was like the Lord said, "Pete, why didn't you pray for her? Why didn't you just stop and pray for her?" I prayed for her in my mind, but I was busy going and opening up my trailer door and getting my stuff delivered. Maybe that was a moment that she really needed the door open. Maybe that was a moment that I could have really ministered to her, that it wasn't just a joke. Pray. And I missed it. I hardened my heart. I didn't hear God's voice. And I kept going because I had things to do. And I had packages to deliver. Sometimes we blow it. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Where's your heart at this morning? Are you listening? Are you seeking? Do you even recognize God anymore? See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. I was in a hurry, and I had rebellion in my heart, not stopping and praying for that lady. God forgive me. But I'm going to ask you this morning, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. How is your heart this morning? Are you listening? Are you seeking God? Is He at the forefront of your thoughts each and every day? It says, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. See, the thing is, what happens with God's voice is the more that we sin, the less we hear God's voice. Do you guys believe that this morning? The more that you turn from God, the more that you allow the garbage of this world in your life, the weaker and the more faint God's voice becomes. That's why it says, today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ Jesus if we hold firmly to the end. The confidence we had at first. As has just been said today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was He angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert, and to whom God did swear that they would never enter His rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. You look at when they were led out of Egypt, the Israelites, and they had a cloud, and they had a fire, and they had guidance. They saw miracle after miracle, water, manna from heaven, miracle after miracle, all these things happening, but yet they didn't believe. They didn't recognize. They didn't know God's voice. This last verse here is a last minute add-in. And I was thinking about, so, do we recognize God? Do we recognize His voice? And do people recognize Jesus in us? Matthew 7, verse 15. I'm almost there. Matthew 7:15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Can your coworkers look at your life and say, I want what they have? Man, they're producing good fruit all the time. They're full of joy. They're full of peace. They're full of kindness, meekness, gentleness. I want what they have. They must be a Christian. Do people recognize Jesus in your life? Do you recognize Jesus in fellow believers' lives? Is it good fruit they're bearing or bad fruit? A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. And a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus by their fruit you will recognize them. Do you recognize Jesus in your life? Do you hear His voice? And would people say that they know you're a Christian by the life that you live? And by the fruit you bear. I shared in Sunday school this morning, just at the end. I didn't know I was going to share it here, but I wish I could remember the full story, but there was a great revival broke out. There was a plague sweeping, and I think it was Africa. Plague sweeping the nation. And the people began to see how Christians died differently than everybody else. They didn't die like everyone else. And the Christians went and took the bodies and cleaned them and buried them. And they even began to do that with the people that weren't Christians. And they just noticed when they died differently than everyone else. And people said, what do y'all have that we don't? And revival broke out and swept the nation. Because of the way that the Christians, the fruit that they bore, even in their death, even on their deathbed. Can people see Jesus in your life? And if not, this is the time right now to ask God for forgiveness, to give Him all of your heart, and to say, God, I hadn't been seeing You. I haven't been feeling You. But Lord Jesus, help me to recognize You. Lord Jesus, help me to hear Your voice each and every day. It's that still small voice. When God speaks to me, God's never showed up in my bedroom and said, Pete, do this. But there's something in my spirit. Is there days sometimes that I don't hear Him? Yeah. And I walk by faith. But there's other times that it's just so overwhelming that I know that it's the Lord giving me guidance, giving me direction. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word. Lord Jesus, I pray for forgiveness for me. I pray for forgiveness for this congregation, Lord, for the times that we've rebelled, the times that we've hardened our heart, the times that we've heard Your voice and that we've turned away. Lord, I pray for strength right now, Lord, to overcome sin, to overcome any temptation that the enemy is trying to throw at us this morning. Lord, any way that the thief is coming to steal, kill, and destroy, right now, Father, we lay our lives at Your feet. Lord, I pray that each one of us, our eyes would be open, that we would see clearly and recognize Your work. Recognize Your hand in our life, that we would hear Your voice. Your Word says that Your sheep know Your voice, that we would know Your voice, and that we would walk in obedience, that we would trust and obey, that we would not harden our heart, that we would not rebel. And Father, I pray that each and every one of us would begin to produce good fruit. Good fruit because we're plugged into You. Good fruit because we're walking in obedience. That our co-workers, that our family, that our friends might see the fruit of the Spirit in our life. That we wouldn't be thorn bushes and thistles, Lord. That we would be the good fruit bearing, the fig tree. Holy Spirit, have Your way now. May we not get in a hurry, Lord. Have Your way with every heart. Lord, if we've been walking in blindness, if we've been walking in disobedience, may we repent right now. May we recognize You at work. You leading, You guiding. In Jesus' mighty name. I don't believe anybody's here by accident this morning. I believe that it's a divine appointment why you're here this morning. Don't miss this opportunity to get your life right with Jesus. Whatever it is, maybe you've been a Christian 30, 40, 50 years. Maybe you've been a Christian a few weeks. Maybe you haven't given your life to the Lord. But this is your opportunity to seek Him, to listen to His voice, and then just act in obedience, whatever it is. Whatever it is. I'm just going to ask, how many of y'all, was it a struggle to get up out of bed and get here this morning? It's tough sometimes. But the Bible says for us to encourage one another, and so it's an encouragement for me that you all are here this morning. I'm glad you're here with us. You know, we need to continue to pray for each other. The new family that came last week said they loved it and they were going to come back and going to invite some of their friends and stuff. And they're not here this morning. I don't think it's because they don't want to be here. I think it's just the struggles of life. And they weigh us down sometimes, and we think things are more important, or we're tired and we've worked hard all week, and we just can't quite make it out of bed on time. We just can't quite get here. I encourage you to pray for each other. If you got Tom and Sharon's number, maybe send them a text this week and let them know you're praying for them. Let them know you care about them. And anybody else that God lays on your heart, bear good fruit this week. May Jesus be displayed in your life. May you recognize His voice and act in obedience. Thank you all for being here. Bible study tonight at 6:30. See you tonight.